You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tov Shin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Kuf Chof Aleph, and we are holding on the second line, v'ha'alal. So one of the things that is considered to be included in the shir of the kibetzah v'eichlin is what is called alal. V'ha'alal. What exactly is alal? My alal? Rabbi Yochanan Omer Martika. So Martika is what we call the spinal cord, or parts that are very thick along the sinews of the neck. This is basically completely inedible, and yet, if it's together with the basar, so we continue, it's something that you gnaw on, so we consider it to be a mitzarev. But Rish Lakish says, it's basar shepalatato sakin. It's meat that has been actually, would have been part of the edible meat, except that when you did the skinning, sometimes you move your knife a little bit. Just like when you peel an apple. So you may peel, leaving a little bit too much apple up against the peel. Here too, you had meat that was left up against the skin. And it's sort of bottle over here because it doesn't have any chashivut. And we'll see how exactly it would work to be mitzarefit, but not to actually be mekabatum itself. That's something the Gemara is going to discuss later. And to get into the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that if you gather it together in one place, which, as the Gemara is about to point out, would only work out, according to this explanation of Rish Lakish, that it's something which is be'etzem meat, it's be'etzem edible. The only thing is that you've put it out of your mind by cutting it in this fashion, leaving it together with the or. All this to be continued on. In general, that wouldn't be considered to be real basar, because people basically are just look at it as meaningless, but nonetheless, it's mitzarev with basar. It is edible, so it would not be mekabel tuma by itself, but it is mekabel tuma when it's mitzuraf together with the basar. Meitve. So first, we just want to see if we could bring a raya from the pasuk as to what the lashon of alal could possibly mean. So Iyov, who is addressing his friends who pretend to have all the answers, and he calls them snake potion doctors, because it's all they're offering him, is a snake medicine. So he calls them Rofei Elil. He says, you're all a bunch of Tofle Sheker. Rofei Elil. So Rofei Elil is the way that we would call a snake potion doctor, not a real doctor. But why? Snake oil, sorry. Snake oil. Sort of. Yeah, snake oil. So, but if that's the case, then as a metaphor, it wouldn't mean what elal. Normally, we would see this as meaning like elil, el lo hu. Yeah, but it doesn't mean avarzor literally. But all things that are like idiotic and projections could be called elil. The Gemara is assuming that since it's talking about ruf elal, it's got to have something to do with medicine, and therefore the way to understand it is that you're all snake oil medicine, meaning that you claim to be able to fix a paraplegic. Somebody who had a spinal cord that was cut through, you're claiming that you can cure. But that means that we're using alal here in martika, because it's literally what it would mean. Martika. Martika is the spinal cord. So you're saying that it's martika. That fits in beautifully with the pasuk in Iyov. Really beautifully. So bishlam alamad yama martika, that's great, because then you're using you're using this as the ultimate in phony alternative medicine. You know, come to me and I'll have you walking again in no time. You guys been faith healer kind of thing. So that's exactly what you guys are. It's probably even better. It's faith healers. That's what they do, right? And that's exactly what Yehov is saying, is you're all a bunch of faith healers. So then Martika is lav barafui. It's not really fixable. And then that would be why it would be used in this metaphor that Iyov is using. But according to Mandyama, that the only physical meaning in terms of actual medicine would be basar shepalatato sakin, which would be also could be something that might need healing. I mean, how can you use that as an example of faith healing? You really can cure such a thing. If sometimes you have a large piece of flesh that's damaged, you can sometimes connect it, and it grows back. I mean, that's what they tell you to do, even in cases where there was severe damage. And hold it together, maybe it'll get fixed. So you can't call that the absolute example of a meshugata faith healer. So therefore, Martika, according to the Maan D'Omar, that it's a lil that makes sense. But according to the way Rish Lakish is learning, that's basar shepalatato sakin, then the use of the word in Iyov doesn't really make that much sense. Oh, says the Gemara, in the Pasuk, everybody's moda. That, of course, over there it refers to Martika. So when it comes to Ba'alal dekro kuli amalo plege, there it's clear that the usage is Martika, and it means actually thick nerve. But ki plege Ba'alal de matniti. Question over here is, what does the Mishnah mean? Because if you hold that it's eitz bialma, then why would it even be mitztaref to the shir of achila? So Reish Lakish therefore holds that it doesn't make sense to give it the shir of achila. Now all of this is Rashi's pshatarat. The Rabbeinu Hanano and the Rabbeinu Tam, they understand that it does not mean specifically nerves that are cut through, but martika means gangrenous flesh, which is not curable. So that would mean that what it would mean over here would still work out very well in the Iyov connection. So the only machlokas is in the alal to matniti. Let's see if we can bring another raya to Shema. Rabbi Yehuda on there. Let's continue on with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have alal that is mechunas, that you gather together enough of it, of a kezayit b'makom echad, at that point you would be chayovim alav. Now chayovim alav, sure sounds, chayovim alav means that it would actually be chayav, meaning that he seems to be talking about midiraita, that you'd be chayav in terms of achilas nevelis, or maybe chayav in terms of the tuma of the nevelis.
It's a shear of this.
Yeah, you got it. Because you, not because it's a shear, but because you collected so much of it that you gave it a machsheves oichlin. Now, the problem over here, we'll see in a moment, is how in the world a machshava would help in terms of the diorite. I mean, I think it helps in terms of the dinim of tuma, because tuma is dependent on what you consider to be a foodstuff. But to talk about chiyuv, that when it should turn a non-nevela into nevela, that's very difficult to see how that would be. But we'll talk about this in a moment. But first, let's just take a look at the raya. So if we're talking about vishlam l'man yomar basar shapalatato, the Omer of Huna, I think I skipped that. Omer of Huna, who shekin so? This is dafka, if you yourself put it together. Not that it was, happened to be that there was that much of it. In other words, what he's telling us, Rav Huna, is that this is a function of his machshava. So if he gathered it together, so then he was machshavit, and then it would be considered to be foodstuff. Masha Einkein, if it just accidentally worked out that way, or kids were playing with it and gathered together enough of it, you know, to make a mud pie with or whatever, now then that wouldn't be considered a ma'ochli. So now, if you hold, like Reish Lakish, that we're talking about basar shepalatato sakin, then it makes sense to say that if you have a desire for makom echad, that he was machnis with his machshava, then you can change something which is on the border of being edible. So the machshava changes it into oak. But according to the Maan D'Omar, it holds its martika. Well, it's a martika, it's eitz bialma. So we're talking about something that is totally and completely inedible. You might as well be talking about eating plastic. So how is a machshava going to change that? My Havi, who cares how much of it it is? You could have 2 tons of it. It's still not food. So it's still eitz bialma. No, says the Gemara. Of course, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda lo plege. There wasn't anybody who doubted for a moment that when Rabbi Yehuda was talking about the alal, and he's referring to a case where your machnas, obviously, it certainly includes basar shepalatato sakin. You misunderstood the machlokim between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan also agrees that the a primary meaning of alal would be palatato sakin. He's just adding that in the Tanakhama, it could even be Martika. But certainly, I mean, the part about Rav Yehuda is, of course, restricted to something that is edible by a stretch, and therefore would have to be basar shepalat tosaki. Ki pligi aliba derabbanan. Rav Yochanan is saying that even martika would be mitzarev. That's all he's saying. Not that only. He said, of course, basar shepalat tosakin. I'm telling that martika is also mitzarev because it's eaten along with the flesh. You chew on it, whatever, spit it out, but it's part of the food that you're chewing on.
Ochel is always ochel adam.
Yes, yes, yes. Reish Lakish Amar, whereas Reish Lakish says, Martika, why would Martika be mitzarev? But if you're chewing on a candy wrapper because you like to get the candy out, that makes the wrapper mitzarev. It's Eitz B'Alma. So Reish Lakish Amar, no, Dafka's Basar Shepalatato Sakin, but Martika, by no stretch, could you call that Oichlin, even in a case where it's Mechubber, you're eating it all together, that's not going to be mitzarev. So now the question is, what is the meaning of the Vuhu Shekanso? What value is there? If we're talking about Chayav Alav, so Chayav Alav is a tremendous stretch. If we're talking about turning something into actual Isser, how can you turn something into Isser with a Machshava? And the way Tosaf puts it, what is the meaning of Machshava for Isser? I mean, if you're talking about Tumah, fine, there, then of course, by Tumah, you can make a distinction between something that's considered to be a foodstuff and not considered to be a foodstuff. Any Tumah is Yoreid Ayidei Machshava, just like a Kli is considered to be a Kli in terms of a Machshava Sa'adam. But, and if you're going to tell me that Chayavim Alav means that really it is an Avela, so then if it was Mevuto from Tuma, then it wouldn't be an Avela. I mean, how can you turn something into not being an Avela? Either it is or it isn't. Therefore, Tainus Tosfos has nothing to do with Achila. When it says Chayav, there's a possibility raised by Rashi. When it says Chayav, what it means is you're Chayav if you went into the Beit HaMikdash, and you shouldn't think it's only a Tumah. We could have said Tameh, but if we had said Tameh, you might have thought it's only a reference to Tumah Sayachli, which is a Matama Yadam, and therefore there'd be no way you'd come to a Chiyav with it. And it was only the Rabbanan that were saying it's Tameh Mishum Neveles. But if I say that you're Chayav, then the reader has to think through. What do you mean Chayav? Must be that it's Tameh Mishum Neveles, and if you're Nichnas the Mikdash, you'll be Chayav. That's the point. That makes it clear that it isn't the Rabbanan. Tosis further points out that even if it hadn't said, even if I hadn't made this analysis, it wouldn't have made any sense. Because if you went ahead and ate a kezias of basar shepalat tosakin, why would you need to be machnes it before you ate it? Isn't the act of eating itself the greatest sign that you're being machshav it as food? You took a kezias of it, you put it in your mouth. So what do you mean if you gathered it together? What do you need the gathering together? If it was there and you picked it up, you put it in your mouth, so you're machshav it as eichlin. What would this separate step be? Says Tosfos, it doesn't even make sense. So therefore, for sure, it makes much more sense to refer to it in terms of the dinim of tuma. Nothing to do with being kainis and putting it into your mouth. Fine. Okay, so this would be the machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, limited to the particular case of the Tana Kama, and Rabbi Yehuda were certainly maida. And the question is it mitztarif? But now the shaila is, I mean, explain to me what exactly the case is with this martika, with this alav. So we're saying everybody agrees basar shepalat tosakin is definitely included in what the Mishnah is saying, that it's mitztarif. Explain to me what the case is. Hai basar shepalat tosakin hechidami. Either chashiv alei. Look, if at any point you're machshiv it, that's even after you actually are palat tosakin, so then it has nothing to do with it being eaten with other food. You would make it a foodstuff. Why not? So then afilu ban pein afshei. Why do you need to have this din that it's only mitamek tumas eichlin if it's eaten with something else? I thought we're saying the makshava considers it eichlin. And we find this all over. You could be makshiv something as eichlin. We had this before. I mean, we spoke before. Even something that isn't normally eaten. So somebody boils up to the point where it becomes edible, hardened areas that are skin. but that after boiling are shayach to eat it. So, okay, so then he's makshivin, even though people normally wouldn't eat it. So in this case, why can't we say even on its own without tsiruv? Why does the Mishnah say dafka tsiruv? And if you didn't have any makshava to be makshavet as ochlin, I mean, then it isn't, really. So if you weren't choshevale, then bitule batle. So then it really is batle. So, maman of shach, I mean, either yes or not, how in the world does this make sense? Reb Avin v'Reb Maisha. Chad Amar, there's two approaches to how to understand it. We don't remember who said what, but we remember that Reb Avin and Reb Maisha were arguing about how to understand the Mishnah's case, which now works out both on Libet Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So one of them said the point over here was that miktzato chishev alav. If you had a certain amount of this stuff, and you had thought, you know what, maybe after you had gathered, let's say a half of the shear, a half a kibbutz, you say, you know what, maybe I should even start collecting this. Maybe we can use it in a challah or something, you know? So then you start actually scraping off the knife and putting it on the edge of a soup bowl, you know? But you didn't have a whole beitza that you had been makshiv. Now you have a mixture of this stuff. So some of it you were chishev alav, some of it you weren't chishev alav. So when it's saying it's mitztaref, the point over here is that if the parts that you were makshiv, even though you never got to a shear, but if you were makshiv it and you wanted ultimately to get to a shear, so then if you're actually eating things, that amount would be mitzuraf, but you don't have a kibbutza of it itself. And mamela, that part is not mitzaref. This is how Rashi learns. There are many who tell that this makes no sense. I mean, so then all you're saying is you have less than a kibbutza, so you need to be mashing this year with other meat. I mean, that's true about anything. It would have nothing to do with this. Even the next approach, which is v'chadamar, miktzato palatato chaya. One part of it was hanging loose because this animal had been attacked by, let's say, a dog, chaya of some kind. It had been attacked and had been wounded. So now there was a bite that had left a small piece of flesh detached underneath the skin. Then you went ahead and shechted it, and you now skinned the animal, leaving this piece, and this piece would have been considered to be basar medulda, that would have still definitely been basar. And now there's parts of it that was palatato sakin, and it's all together now in the bowl that you had been scraping your knife on. So here too, it's a problem of not having a full shear. Since it's together with this piece, it's going to add the part that was palatato chaya is going to be added to the part that you're mitzari. Again, obviously, I mean, it's just because you don't have a shear, so you need tsiruv. Therefore, other Rishonim argue on Rashi and say that no, the finish over here is that the entire amount will be mitzuruv. Because since there's a chelek of it that is considered to be choshev, so bishleim, if you were trying to make it first into eichlin, that proportion of it that is eichel, since it's not a shear, is not drawing anything else with it to make the entire thing being eichel. But if there's an actual other meat that's here, and now you're mixing it with something that it definitely is eichlin that stands on its own as eichlin, then since you had a portion of this that was considered to be eichlin, the whole thing could be mitzuraf. Exactly. The whole thing ends up being mitzuraf. Because otherwise, they tell him, what's the chiddush of the Gemara? So then now it turns out to be a big chiddush. According to one man, the Omar, the chiddush is that a partial machshava will work on the whole thing if there's really eichlin. According to the other man, the Omar, it's that if there's a chelek of palatato sakin, that because it's nothing to do with you, not that you were machshavit, but that it was in fact bitten off and was therefore not considered to be palatato sakin, but palatato chay, and in the end you took it all when you were skinning, that that's enough to be machshav the rest of it if there's food here. Now, we know Tzan Hatam, we've been keep getting back to this Mishnah in Taharot, that is talking about Nivlat of Tahar. We keep getting back to this Nivlat of Tahar. It's a very, very rich sugya, lagabi, all of these din. And we just finished talking about it in terms of the din of liquefaction, when it's considered to be considered an achila. Here, we also have, in that Mishnah, The other part of the concern, which is which part of the Nivlat of Tahor is considered to be edible, so that if you eat a kezayif of it, at that point it's metame, the adam to be metame is begadim, and so on. So it says over there in the Mishnah, the beak of the bird, acharton, the tziparnaim, the nails of the bird, are mitamin or mitamin, which would have been fine, because I said that would be as yad, perhaps. But then it goes on to say mitstarfim, which means that we're actually seeing it the same way we're looking over here at the halal. How is that? Isn't the chartom eitz bi'alma? And is it the point that that's everything that Reish Lakish was tying in eitz bi'alma? I mean, if the martika means git eitz savar, or the spinal cord, or like Tosfos says, dead meat, I mean, so then what's it shaykh to be b'chayven on? Omar, Rabbi Elazar, it's talking about b'chartom tachton, which we thought meant the lower beak. So what's the difference? It's all the same stuff. I got news for you. I saw a bird. There's no difference between the upper beak and the lower beak. Tachton nami eitz bi'almahu. I'm referring to it. Doesn't mean the lower beak. It means the lower part of the beak, which is basically the palate. So the inside of the beak is coated by a layer of actual skin cells with nerve endings and so on. And that's what it means. That part is not bottled to the chartum, but can actually be mitzarev with bus. And the tziparnayin, I mean, nails. Nails are totally eitz bi'alma. Omar Rabbi Elazar, it means makom hamuvlaim bebasar. It means the part that's underneath, not the part that's exposed, which is totally keratin and dead, but where the nail is growing from, which is the root of the nail, that's considered to be basar. And the karnayim, what is there about karnayim that is edible? Omar of Papa bemakom shechotchim v'yotzei mehem dam. Talking about the place that you cut and it leads, which means all the way down at the point where the karnayim are becoming karnayim, similar to the nail issue. You don't know they're looking in.
It's hard in my life. Uh-huh.
But I never see you looking down. I always see you looking out.
Yeah,
I don't need any of this. I only need for you to explain it to me.
He gets concerned and falling asleep.
Ah, so you're caught between a rock and a hard place here. So he pokes you on one end and I poke you on the other. Well, if somebody would do that for Richie, we'd have a whole different...
What was
that
expression?
Kereach mikan u'mikan. Uh-oh, here we go. Kayotze bo. You should have your glasses checked, by the way. You need bifocals or a different bifocal. Okay, kayotze bo. Now, the next case was the weirdest case. And this is a case where you can really catch somebody on, you know, on one of these quiz shows. Okay? When is a kosher shechita necessary for a piggy? I said, what? And they sit there scratching their head. But we just had, in the Mishnah, this is an amazing case where you're talking about a kosher shechita means you got to have a real sheichet and a real sakin shechita. We're going to see you even have to do a bedika on the sakin. I mean, it's got to be 100% a kosher shechita on this little piggy. For which halacha? For the halacha to give it a din of tumas erchlin when it's being mefarches. So let's remember the rules. It has to be done by a Jew, a real shechita. It has to be done as a completely kosher act of shechita. It has to be done on specifically a non-kosher animal. And it has to be done specifically for the purposes of a non-Jew's eating. If any of those conditions are not met, then the din that it's considered to be, even though it's still alive technically, and it's moving and so on, so then, if all the conditions are met, it's considered to be food and it's makabel tumas erchlin. Because in the machshava of the Jew, the act that he did of shechita is an act that usually will make it, by definition, erchlin. That's what makes it erchlin. It no longer matters if it's alive, if it's moving, and that's irrelevant. So the act of shechita makes it erchlin. But since over here, he's not going to eat it, And no Jew's going to eat it, so it's only if the machshava was to feed it to a goy. Now, that doesn't mean that the goy is allowed to eat it. The goy himself is not allowed to eat it, because it's really Avram and Achai. Because the only time we say that it's not Avram and Achai is where it really was Shechita. But since over here we're talking about the din of machshava, so the din of machshava is really dependent on illusions. It's always illusions, what it is you believe. So in this case, the illusion requires a very well done illusory shechita. So if the shechita was not a good shechita, where's the illusion? So you don't really have a machshava, that'll be batla machshavta. So all around we need all these four steps. If this guy's not a good shechit, I mean, then this piggy's not going to be kosher. Obviously kosher, not meaning kosher to eat, but kosher in the sense that it's being considered to be food, that's going to be makabel tumah. Wild, wild halach. Get the details of this wonderful halach. Amar Rabasi, Shonim Yisrael b'tmeyah, v'oved kochavim b'torah. Look, what we've learned is, a Yisrael who shechts a animal that is non-kosher, and a goy who shechts an animal that is kosher. So, in one case, we've got the kosher shechita, but it's being applied to a ridiculous situation, a non-kosher animal. In the other case, we've got a kosher animal, but we've got a non-kosher shechita because it's a goy. But the point is that in both of these cases, you've got somebody who's thinking. The din of machshava does not have to be consistent with reality. It has to be a good illusion. So in the case of the Yisrael of a Tmeya, okay, he's doing what he's considered to be a act of shechita. An Oyve Kechavim, who obviously can also have machshava, doesn't matter who's machshiv on it, he too has in mind a use of this meat to be eaten. So therefore, in these cases, we do, in fact, require machshava, and we also need hechsher mayim mimakom acher. In order for this to be roi lekabel tumah, normally, shechita itself is machshir lekabel tumah, as Reb Shimon said. Or the dam of shechita, that was a machlokas before. This is neither a shechita in a real sense, it's an illusion, so it's not going to be considered to be machshir lekabel tumah. Nor is it blood that is considered to be dam chalalim, which is the normal way that we have dam, which is the normal way that you would make. It's the dam of shechita is what's machshir, only because al aretz tishpachenu kamayim, but that's said about shechita. This is not really shechita, so it's neither dam chalalim, it's not that you stabbed it through the heart or anything, nor is it dam shechita. Therefore, it's not going to be considered roi lekabel tumah, even though it's baser. It needs hechsher. So in other words, water has to fall on it. That you haven't managed to get around, because machshav is only mahania to turn it into a foodstuff, but that foodstuff needs hechsher.
Where would we need the water? On the basis
of the tree or? No, anywhere on the meat. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? You're talking about a nevela. What do you mean hechsher mayimi makom acher? This thing that is being mefarshes. This thing that is considered to be mefarkeset, it is about to die. And so within 10 seconds, it's going to be a nevela, right? Now you're telling me you cut off a piece and it's going to require hechsher. We have a rule. Anything which is so full of tameh tumah chamura means it's going to be tumah yotzei from it. Now that it's makabotum, it's going to be tameh adam, it's going to be tameh kalim, does not need heksher, because that itself means it's already within the Kabbalah's tumah parameters. So why in the world would Rabasi say it needs heksher? Isn't it true heksher lomali so full of tameh tumah chamura? That's the rule. No hechsher is necessary on something that itself is about to be an avela. And we learn that out of a pasuk. To turn it over to Rabbi Yishmael, back to our favorite pasuk over here, v'chiyu tam mayim al zera. This we've been talking about. This zera, mazra im shein, so fanatabe tumah chamura. There is no possible way for a seed to ever be metame ova. Because even if it were touched by a Avota Tumah, it would never become an Ava Tumah. Oakland cannot be Mekabel Tumah on that level. They can't carry Tumah. Remember, in order to carry Tumah, you have to be on a particularly developed level. Either, even if you're a human, you can't carry Tumah unless you're a Yisrael. So a Goy who touches an Avela doesn't become Tameh. A Goy who touches a Mace is not going to be Metameh on Adam if a Yisrael touches him. So only Adam, which is Adam Atem, only Kalin that have been defined by an Adam, they are valuable enough to be Mekabel Tumah? No, yes, because over there it's Roy for any Adam. But never foodstuff or animals. So why in the world in this case? This is going to be so for the time, Tameh Tumah Chamura. Isn't it learned out of the Pasuk that it doesn't require Hefshar and only Zroyim? And things like them require Hefshar. So Afkosha Insa for the Tameh Tumah Chamura, and only those things which are not going to be Tameh Tumah Chamura require Hefshar. As opposed to this particular case, which is precisely on its way, and it stops being Mefarches over here, it stops twitching, it's going to be an Avela. It was a non-kosher animal. The shechita is not going to make it non-avela. It was a goy shechita. The goy shechita is not going to make it non-avela. The most you can talk about is whether it gives it a did of eichlin. So therefore, you shouldn't need action. Vitanya, and I got another raya for you. How about this braita? Omar Rabbi Yosi. Mipneima amru nivlatov tar tzricha machshava veina tzricha yachshir. Why is the rule that when it comes to the achil of a nivlat of tahar, so over there, what are you doing? You're eating something, generally isn't eaten. By the way, the Gemara elsewhere says this is dafka nogea bikvarim. It's actually a difference mentioned in a Mishnah, that if you're in a place where people don't usually eat this kind, in a city, people eat anything. They'll eat dogs. But if you're talking about in a place where this is not the norm, so you would need to have a machshava that you're going to be eating a dead pigeon that you found. Okay, but you need a machshava, but you don't need hechsher. Why don't you need hechsher in order to give it a din of eichlin? This is one of the, again, the famous Mishnah that lists 13 different things that are nemra benivlat of tahar. We keep bringing Yud Gimel Dvarim nemra b'vezech abim. Okay, so this is now the case in where you want now to look at a kibetza of this stuff. Remember, it's a very unusual situation. A nivlat of tahar is not tameh. It only makes you tameh when you eat it. It itself is never tameh. So suppose you have a kibetza of it that touches a sheretz. Is that kibetza tameh? If you wanted to eat it, then you were machshav it to be an eichlin. Or if it's in a city, you were machshav it to be an eichlin. But it never got wet. So why would it be Mekabel? It's exactly this case. Never got wet. And over there we say, yes, so what if it never got wet? Since it itself, if you would eat it, would be metame, you, because it itself becomes now, it's so full of tame, it's going to be metame, you with Tumah Chamura. It doesn't need action. Over here, the same thing is true. This piece of meat that you're currently looking at, which is still being mefarches, in another moment, is going to be sofa l'tamei Tumah Chamura. So, why does he say, Ravasi, that it requires action? It's a great question. Sofa l'tamei Tumah Chamura. Omar Chizkiah, I'll tell you why. It's two different cases. The case over there with the bird, that bird is dead now. Which means that sofa l'tamei Tumah Chamura has nothing to do with the state of the bird. It has to do with when you're going to eat it. But over here, it has to do with the state of the meat. The meat, as it is now, is not metame. You're talking, oh, but it's definitely going to be metame. Really now? Is it definitely going to be metame? How about if I put it through a blender? How about if I cut it up now into little tiny pieces? It'll never have a kezayit. If it doesn't have a kezayit, then it's not so full of tamei tumah chamura. So you can't absolutely point to a piece of meat and say, this piece of meat is so full of tamei tumah chamura. It's not true. Because it's not innate in the circumstances, in the item, that it's going to be a tamei tumah chamura. Masha Einkein, this bird as it is so full of tamei tumah chamura. You can't compare the two cases. You could grind it, cut it, chop it, and so on. Especially if you're a mass murderer. These are the kind of things you like doing. So Mamela, it will never be so for the time it to Mechamur. God help us. Omar Lai Rabbi Yirmiel or Rabbi Zeira. Umi Amar Chizkia Hachi, how in the world could Chizkia, that is amazing, the one person who couldn't have said this in all of history is Chizkia. We don't know of anybody else who makes this statement wrong except Chizkia himself. Because Chizkia says elsewhere, Ha'itma, Shachat Bashnaim Orov Shnaim, V'adayin Hi Mifarchaset, where you have a case of a tummy animal. Getting back to the case of our Mishnah, the weird case. Okay, so you shechted this little piggy. And in this case, you did a shchita of Shnaim or Rov Shnaim, the complete shchita. V'adayin Hi Mifarchaset, Chizkia Amar Einala Evarim. Chizkia says a benayach is not going to be chayev on it for Avram and Achai because it's already, this is a tummy animal. We're for Yisroel, we're not Zayin Nagia. So here he is saying, Chizkia, that this is not considered to be Avram and Achai once you did this shvita. Even though it's a mefarches. So in other words, you're telling me that it's no longer considered to be alive. Okay, so then, as far as I last heard, when something is no longer alive, it's dead. So if it's dead, then it's already being metame to mechamura. So how could the same Chizkia, is the only one who claims that it's not considered to be alive, despite the fact that it's being mefarches, because of the shechita. He's the last one on earth that should be the one to say, well, you could still save it for a big tummy tumor surveillance by chopping it up within the next 3 seconds. He's the one who says chopping it up won't help because it's no longer alive. It's Rabbi Yochanan who said, what do you mean? But it's not dead yet. Rabbi Yochanan, yeshna le'evarim. What's the difference whether you did shchit on it? It's a piggy, for God's sake. What good is shchit on it? Lav meitahi. Answers the Gemara, this is a prejudice. Why would you say that just because it's not alive, it's dead? You see people out there all the time like that. Omar Lay, Yatsta Michlal Chaya, it's not considered to be alive in terms of being an Avram and Achai. But it's not dead, because when it comes to an avail, it says V'chiyamut. You're telling me it's dead? It's still moving. So it's not dead. On the other hand, it's not considered to be something that is still an Avram and Achai, and it's not necessarily interdependent. But it's remarkable that it's Chizkia who is the one that is the indication of the two edges of this strange situation. So therefore, he's telling us, in terms of Sofa L'tami Tumei Chamura, it's not Sofa L'tami Tumei Chamura necessarily because it's not currently Tumei Chamura. Mashen came by the Oftar. It's currently Sofa L'tami Tumei Chamura as you eat it. It's really dead. In this case, it's not dead yet.
Wow.
Great case, huh?
Yeah?
Gufa. Let's just get into that for a minute. Shachat Bashnaim Orov Shnaim Adayini Mefachesed. These are fascinating halachas. We're talking about a tummy animal, and Chizkia Amar Eina Leivarim, Rabbi Yochanan Yeshna Leivarim. Says Rabbi Elazar, listen, as far as halacha is concerned, there's absolutely no question. It's definitely Rabbi Yochanan is correct here. He's going to be chayav for Avram and Achai. And the quote lahad Rabbi Yochanan biyadecha, because if you take a look in the Braita, Rav Hoshaya's Braitas, which are the Braitas, they make it very clear that the halacha is like that. The Tani Rav Hoshaya kavate, the Tani Rav Hoshaya, Yisrael sheshachat beimat me'al oved kochavim. That's our case. He's shechting now this little piggy. Shachat bashnayim or rov shnayim, and it's being mefacheset. The din is, it's betami tumat ochlim. But it's not metami tumat nevelot. That's our Mishnah. We know that. Not metami tumat nevelot. Now, what about as far as the din of Avram and Achai? Aver haporesh bimena is the same as a poresh menachai. Basar haporesh bimena is the same as basar haporesh menachai. Still moving. And it'll never be mutter, never, even after the animal dies, because now it's been cut off while it was still being mefarches. And of course, the reason we have to separate between Avram and Achai and Bosom and Achai is because Avram and Achai is metame like Nevelas, and Bosom and Achai is not metame like Nevelas. But the bottom line is, vis-a-vis the Easter of Avram and Achai, clearly Rav Hoshaya is saying exactly what Rav Yochanan says. You cut off a piece of this, it will forever be an Avram and Achai. Doesn't matter what happens to the actual animal as a whole. And this would be true of filo the achri tetzei nafsha. This will always be aser to ben noyach, even achri yitzias hanefesh. Shachat bo echad o rov echad. But if you didn't do the whole shechita, you took a knife, you shechted it, but you only shechted one simen. or the robe of one siman. It's not, you can't say, yeah, but anyway, I mean, it really doesn't matter. It isn't really shchita, so one siman should be enough. No such thing. In that case, it's not going to be b'tamei tumah sochlin. If you stab it or something, ain't but tumah shoklum. It's got no tumah at all. That's just a way of saying things. I mean, that's totally ridiculous. It's not that there's any real difference between them. Well, when it dies, right now it's being mefaches. So there's no tumah whatsoever if you stabbed it, and that's the same thing. If you're shochet echad or rov shnayim, there's a rov echad. Now, the opposite case, where a goy pretends that he's a shochet. So he takes this nice kosher animal, and he shochet behemah terli Yisrael, and it's b'fachesed. So the din over there is, yes, his makshav is mahani in terms of turning it into eichlin. Metamet tumas eichlin, it's not going to be metamet tumat the nevelot, but you should know that an Eber HaPorish Mimena is considered to be Eber Menachai. It doesn't matter that he believes he did a shechita. And Basra Parish Vimena is Asr as opposed to Basra Parish Menachai. And a Ben Noach is still going to be Asr to eat it, even Akshatetse Nafsha. If you did only a Shkita, this Goy does a phony Shkita where it's, make it work, where he does only Echad or Rov Echad, you could change the thing, but then, or Rov Echad, then Ainam Atamit Tumat Ochlin, then it's nothing. If he stabs it, it's nothing. Ain Batumash Oklum. Now, in the event, and by the way, we talked about this very early on in the Masechta, where we had Ovi Gochovim, blech. Remember that case? But he was trying to make a difference between if you do the shechita and you hit the hole, or you go put the knife into the hole and then check. Mm-hmm. Right? This is a question whether there's an afkamina in terms of your, is it considered to be a kosher shechita? So this is the Gemara that we brought there. So if, in the case where an Ovi Gochovim shechs, and he's shechting b'makom she'in oseota treifa. Now, he's not shechting the esophagus, which is going to become a treifa the minute that he makes a little hole in it. Right? He's being shochet the kone. He's shechting the windpipe. He hasn't yet made it a treifa. So he makes a partial cut of the windpipe, comes along the Yisrael and completes it, then it's kosher, because the completion was done by the Yisrael. If, on the other hand, If on the other hand, you're supposed to know the future too. I mean, once you're coming from, this is a twilight zone, why can you only know the past? So if a Yisrael does the Shechita, and he starts, and there it doesn't matter, there he could do it even in Mokam Shor Satra Trefa, because it isn't a Trefa if Yisrael starts. Not yet, anyway. So Beim Mokam Shor Satra Trefa, Beim Mokam Shor Eino Satra Trefa, comes along a Goy, and his Gomar, Shechitato will always be psula, because the closure of the Shechita, the moment that was makshir, was done in the hands of a goy. And furthermore, this too being the Gemara that we examined earlier, if somebody wants, for purposes of refuah, he wants to eat meat from an animal that is so fresh that it's been cut off before the animal even died. Now, how does he do that? What he does is he cuts the basar directly from the basar shechita. In other words, he doesn't even move. He just takes off an actual piece of meat from the makom of the basar shechita. However, because the animal has not completed bleeding out the blood, we saw before that's machbid and so on, so here too he'll have to do especially good malicha. Mocho yafa yafe, medicho yafe yafe, umamtin la achetet se nafsha. Now you wait until it dies, because I mean that's already, you know, takhila al adam, but you got the meat while it was still alive, and then it would all be kosher. Medicho yafe, mamtin achetet, echad avikachovin, echad yisroel mutarim bo. Here a goy could also eat this. Why? Because as we said before, if something is kosher for Yisrael, and over here he did shechita, the animal is still alive, so. But for Yisrael, it's matir. Ein l'chadavah that was zutter l'Yisrael, that's going to be yotzer l'yakov. Therefore, it's mutter even for a goy. Boy, Rebbe Lazer, now you say that you did a kosher shechita on this piggy. Suppose you did a shehiyah. So there was this imperceptible lag in the time. You stopped moving for a moment. Or you put on a little bit too much pressure on the knife and you did a drisa. I mean, when we're talking about, I mean, that looks sort of like a shechita, even though technically speaking it would have passed the real shechita. But come on, it's a piggy, for God's sake. Right? What's the din? Omalei Ahu Saba Hachi Amar Rav Yochanan. When we're talking about shechting this piggy, it requires heksher shechita kebehema tahera. What do you mean heksher shechita? Just say shechita. No! It even requires a heksher. Heksher? Lamai. Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak. What do you mean? You need a bedika sakin? I mean, you didn't sew the knife to the chacham. I mean, what's the matter with you? You're about to shep the piggy. You didn't show the
knife. What about people?
So over here.
And the piggy.
Yeah. Piggy. So over here, you actually need to check the knife. You can't be saying that. What difference does it make, really? What do you mean with that? The whole thing, it has to be an absolutely perfect illusion. This animal that is not really alive and not really dead, okay? You say you require complete shechita. Maushen tatzil ala bluim shebetocha. In either of these two cases, the Jew that shechted the piggy, the other kechavim that shechted the kosher animal, and in either of these cases, the animal had previously swallowed your diamond ring, right? So now that ring is certainly going to be mekabel tuma in an olamet. However, the problem is something that is inside of a living being is not mekabel tuma in an olamet. It's only mekabel tuma if it's in the ohel, not when it's in something else, which is in the ohel. So I want to know whether this is considered to be a living being, and therefore it's going to be matzil, the ring from Tuma, in the Ohel HaMeit, or whether in terms of Hatzolah, it's considered to be dead. Said Reb Sheshes to Reb Zera, what kind of crazy question is that? How could something which is food, that's metami tuma sarchlin itself, it's makabal tuma, how can something which is makabal tuma be matzil, something in an olamais, from being makabal tuma? That makes no sense to me. One of the most fundamental rules is that a dover that's makabal tuma is not chotzis b'fnei atuma. That should work here too in the ol hamait. So it's matame tuma tochlinu matzelet. I don't understand. It seems like a dumb question. Says Rabbi Zeratim, really now? It's ena matame tumat nevelo, velo tatzil. And what are you saying? What you're saying is also ridiculous. You're saying if it's matame tumas ochlin. Obviously that matame tumas ochlin is not seriously that we view it as an ochlin. And that, therefore, like it's dead. I mean, why is it that it won't be matame tumas nevelos at this moment? How is something that is clearly not dead, so it's alive? If it's alive, then something that's alive is in a different place than the ohel hameit. Therefore, the diamond ring should not be tamei. Omar Abaye, look, it cannot be matzil. We're talking about this strange intermediate case between life and death. So, it's not matzil on the blue, because it's matame tumat ochlin. But suppose somebody is affected by both the bestiality and a strange, necrophilia. Necrophilia. So this guy's got to sleep with dead women, but they have to be cows. Or in this case, piggies, perhaps, you know. So some guy comes along to have some little fun with his half-dead piggy. Yeah, strange cases. Vaharovaz, somebody would actually be rovea, this animal would be chayev. Why? Because it's not matami tumas nevela. Now, Tosus understands Rashi to be talking about mishgola chumra, meaning that we're really misopic, whether it has a din of life, in which case we'll go lechumra lagabe the ring, and we'll go lechumra lagabe harova. Tosus, that's crazy. Can't people chayev somebody? It says chayev to say awesome. It's chayev. So if he's chayev, it means that you know that it's alive. Right. So therefore, those who explain Rashi explain that Tosfos didn't understand what he meant. He didn't mean that mitzad ha-sofek will be machmer. He meant that the Rabbanan were machmer on it to give it this din of tumas ochlin for the illusion. But that doesn't mean that they called it dead, obviously. So why wouldn't you be chayev for rov'ah? That's the meaning of l'chumra. It doesn't mean l'chumra. And the point over here, the way Tosfos is saying, is what's the problem? It's considered to be chai l'chol davar. And since when is chai l'chol davar a contradiction to something being eichlin? That's two completely different dinim, because that din is dependent on Machshava. So the Machshava allows it not to be a matzio, because the din of Hatzolah is not dependent necessarily, not because of a chumra, but because it's truly mekabel tuma. Halal. The halal, my halal. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Marta Karish Lakish Amar Basar Shepalatato Sakin Meitve Ulam Batem Tofle Sheker Rofe Alil Kulchem. The Bishlam Laman the Amar Marta Kain and Alav Barafuahu. So it's really snake oil. Hello, Laman the Amar Basar Shepalatato Sakin. That is Barafuahu. Now, be halal de critically Amalo Plege. He plege be halal de Matnitin Tashma. Rabbi Yomer alala mechunas im yesh kizayit b'makom echad chayavim alav v'yomer ravuna v'hu shekanaso. So bishlam alamad yomer basar shepalatato sakin haynu techiika kizayit mechayev, meaning mechayev in terms of kenisa lamigdash. El alamad yomer martika, what's the difference? How much of it you have? V'yika kizki kizayit mayavi, it's only an eitz b'yalma. Now, well, clearly I'll leave the reader of pligi that we're talking about something that is Basar Shepalatato Sakin. The question was, Alibid Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, look, even Martika could be Mitzarev. And Rish Lakish say, no, the only meaning of Alal, all over the Mishnah, has to be Dafka Basar Shepalatato Sakin. Martika will never be Mitzarev, it's beyond. How exactly does it work when you're talking about Basar Shepalatato Sakin? So what does it mean? Because Echidam, either Choshev Alei, it's after the Ba'am Pinav Shemitami without Sirov. Either Lo Choshev Alei, it should be Batal. So it's Batule Batal. Rav Avin and Rav Maisha have different explanations. Scharamar Mikzato, Chishev Alav. And therefore, the Kiddush is that that small amount would be Mitztarev, according to Rashi, or according to others, the entire thing would therefore be Mitztarev when it's together with real Basar. The Karamar Mikzato Palatato Chayal, a dog bit it, let's say. Mikzato Palatato Sakin. Tzlan Hatam, back in our favorite Mishnah of the Nivlat of Tahor. Hachartom Vatsipor Naim Mitamin, Umitamin, Umitstarfin. Now, how could that be the Chartom? It's Eitz B'Almo. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Bechartom Tachton. What's the difference? The Tachtonami Eitz B'Almo. Amr Pidi doesn't mean tachton, it means the inner. Tachton shel elyon. Tzipornayim, Amr Beloza, that's got to be talking about makom hamuv la'im bebasar, where the still living cells. Karnayim, Amr Papa, that's talking about the makom shechotchan, v'yotze mehem dam. Kayotzebo, hashochet behema, wild case, says Rabasi, look, we got basically two wild cases. Shonim Yisrael, Idebei Metmeya, Idebei Kechav, Idebei Metahira. The din is that you require Machshava, but you gotta get Heksha Mayim Mimakom Acher. Heksha? What do I need Heksha for? We're talking about Sofa Tami Tuma Chamura. Kosh Sofa Tami Tuma Chamura Lo Boy Heksha. The Tani Devei Rabbi Yeshua Vechiyutan Mayim Alzera Mazraim Shein Sofan Tami Tuma Chamura Tzichin Heksha. Av Kosh Shein Sofa Tami Tuma Chamura Tzorich Heksha. V'tani om Reb Yosef mipnei ma omru nivlat of tohor tzricha makshava ve'ino tzricha echsher. In order to be makabel tuma from a sheretz without your eating it, mipnei shesofa l'tamei tuma chamura, if you would eat it. Omra chizkiz, no comparison. There you've got a dead bird. Over here you've got a live animal. And ho'il v'yachol l'gorerau l'ha'amida pachot mikazayit, before it becomes an avela, it'll never be matam as an avela pachot mikazayit. Omar lei Rabbi Yirmi ala Rabbi Zerami, Omar chizki ahachi, v'yait mar shachar b'shnayim arov shnayim v'adayini b'farcheset. Chizki says, nonetheless, einala evarim, and it's considered to be dead. And you're not going to be chayev because of evarim v'nachay. Rabbi Yochanan omar yeshnala evarim. Chizki omar, that means that it's meitai. Rabbi Yochanan Yeshavarim, that's not called meitai, it's still moving. So how do you explain that contradiction? Well, I explain it by referring to the living dead, or the dead living. Michlal Chaya, it was Yotzta, but Michlal Meita, Lopat. Gufa. Shachat Hashemar of Shnaim Adain Mifacheset, Chizki Omar, Inaleivarim, Rabbi Yochanan Yeshavarim, Rabbi Lezer, look, the kot lo Rabbi Yochanan b'yadecha, because the pride of Rabbi Shah is kavate. The town of Rabbi Shaya Yisrael sheshachat beimat me'alo ve'kochavim shachat b'shlaim or rov shlaim. It's v'chesed b'tamitumat ochlim avolot tumat nevelot, as our mission says. And the important piece for us here, Eivor ha'parish b'menas k'parish b'nachai, just like Rabbi Yochanan said. And Basra Parash Vimena is Kibasra Parash Menachai. It's always going to be also when they knock, even though the Basra is a Metame. And there's a field of Achishtet Seinavsha. Shachat Ba Echad or Rov Echad. Ain't a Metame to Masaychlin. No Chara, for sure. Ain't but to Mashachlin. Nothing to discuss. Ove Kechavim Sheshachat Ba Eimat Oral Yisrael, which is the mirror case. Mufar Chesed Metame to Matochlin, Avalot to Mante Melot, Eivor HaParash Menach Parash Menachai, Basar Parash Menach Parash Menachai, and will remain also with Bnei Noach forever. Afil Acher Shetetze Nafsha, Shachad Ba'echad, Arov Echad, Inu Metame to Mas Eichlin, Nochara, In Batum Ashal Klum, Shachad Ovet Kachavim Bobokim Sheino Satrifa, Bo Yisrael Vagamra, Kshira, Shachad Yisrael, Beim Bobokim Satrifa, Beim Bobokim Sheino Satrifa, comes along at Ovik Rechavim and his Gomer, the Shechit at the Rov, it's Psula. What you could do is do a proper Shechit, and because of the Bliat Adam, you need to be Molko, Yafa Yafa, Madicha, Yafa Yafa, Mamtin La, to be a normal human being, because otherwise it's going to be Lotoku Al Adam, and then you can eat it. And this would be kosher. Echad Avik Rechavim, Vechad Yisroel Mutarim Bo, and this is Messiah El Ravidi Barovin, Dom Ravidi Barovin, Omer Bitzur Barashian, Harotzeh Shiyabri, Chotech Kezayit Basar, Mibet Shkita, Molcho Yafa Yafa, Madicho Yafa Yafa, Mamtina Shetetzei Nafsha, Echad Avik Rechavim, Vechad Yisroel Mutarim Bo. Boy Rabbi Elazar, I mean, how real does this Shkita have to be? How about Shahaba, Daraspa, Mao, Omer Yahu Sabach, Yomer Rabbi Yochanan, it's got to be totally real. Tzricha hechsher shkita kebeimato. Hechsher? What's a hechsher? Hechsher lamai. Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, you need a bedikat sakin. And how about in terms of being matzila da bluim shebetocha? Says Reb Sheshes to him, what are you asking? Mitami tumas erklun matzila. Amar lei, and eina matami tumat nevelat velo tatzila. Rabbi, look, it's in a matzala tala beluim shebetocha, because in terms of tuma, it's vitam tumas ochlin. On the other hand, it's chayla chol davar and harova chaya, because it's in a matam tumas nivel. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience. Quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Okay, we're holding today on daf Kuf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. V'ha'alal. So the next thing we did Ha'or, we did Ha'reitev, Ha'kipa. Muratu ha'alal. So my alal, what exactly is this alal that is mitzvarek to be the time of Tumas Eichlin, but is not part of Tumas Nevelas? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Martika, Reish Lakish Amar Basar Shepalatato Sakin. The idea of alal, it's very similar to the word alil. In other words, it means something that is similar to, but erset, not real, not livable, not viable. So, what exactly would the meaning of alal be translated into terms of our Mishnah, which is terms of Akira? Rav Yochanan says it means martika. Martika are the very thick gidim, which are either the tendons in the neck, Beit Zavor, or the spinal cord. Something that is much thicker than normal gidim and wouldn't be included in even the gidim, which are listed separately in the Mishnah. Tosfos, by the way, explains back at the beginning of the parak that I need both martika here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and gidim, because gidim I might have thought are soft enough to be mitzarif even for tumis nevelos. And therefore, it has to say that the lola tumas avails. The martika would have thought is too hard to even be mitzvah for tumas eichlin. So, it says martika. Rish Lakish says, no, not Maratik, it's Basar Shapalata Tov, Sakin. It's the, when you cut off the skinning, so sometimes you have a little bit of viable Basar that it's right up against the Or. That is cut also along with the Or, but that's, could have been part of the Basar if you left it there. And so, Mamela, that's not, since it was cut off together with the Or, it would be normally a bottle. However, here together with other Eichon, it's Mitzvah. The Gemara will go into detail about what the situation is in terms of his Machshava, because Lechara, this is a function of Machshava, whether it be Mitzvah or Mitzvah. Meisve. We know that Eov, who was pretty disgusted with all of the fine Musar that he was getting from his friends, he told them, Yulam atem tofle sheker, rofei alil kuchem. So all of you, I like your tipulin, try giving it to somebody else. You're trying to heal me, and you're rofei alil. Now, the mashma is rofei alil, but it's something that isn't going to work. You're not really rofeim, you're just hurting me more. So if you learn that the word alil would mean that which has no resemblance at all to refuah. In other words, it's something that would not be able to be mitrapez. Okay, rofei alil. So it's as if you're being rofei martika. That's a joke. I need a lot of refuah. Now you're telling me that's bichlal, not shayak refuah from what you're saying. But if you're going to tell me it's basar, you're going to apply the same term in our Mishnah to mean basar shepalatato sakin. You can't call that something that is completely out of range of the idea of refuah. It's still basar. So in terms of the posek, it's still shayak refuah. So, he's not insulting them as profoundly as he would want to. He's calling them alternative medicine, exactly. So is he calling them rofei alil? It's not a good use of the word. Well, no, balal de krakuli amalot pligi. Certainly we understand that the meaning of alal and sense of alil, the way Eov is using it, is completely and absolutely off the wall. It has no connection to real refuah. The question is, how broad of a term is the word alal? Can it include something which is not real but still has shaykhus to it? And that's the question. Ki pligi be'alal de matniti. So Toshma, at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, ha'alal ha'mechunas im yesh kezayit v'makom etkat chayavim alal. That if you have a collection of alal, whatever that is, if you would have a kezayis, then you would actually require alal in terms of nevelos. That is a little bit of a question, whether we mean chayavim alav in terms of achilas nevelos, whether we mean chayavim alav in terms of tumas nevelos, if he was mitameh, and he ended up going into the Mokom HaMikdash, and then was miskayim because of that. And we'll talk about what the machlokes is, Lagavi, that in a moment. But in any event, the question is, how do we understand that? Rav Huna explains on the Mishnah, Rav Yom Rav Huna, that when it says, Ha'alal ha'mechunas, it doesn't mean ha'mechunas by accident. It means, v'hu shekin so. In other words, he was the one who, with his makshava, put together this martika to make it a kezayit b'makom echad, and therefore in doing so he was makshavit. So now, in other words, he's making it clear that it isn't bottle. If it wasn't gushe, it was just mechunas accidentally. Maybe somebody was playing with it, or maybe just happened to be thrown that way when they were cutting up the animal. That wouldn't make any difference. The point over here is makshavit. So Bishleim Lamandi Amar, and that, by the way, is the source of the machlokes. In other words, if you learn, Rashi suggests with the Nogea even a Chiyuv. Tosfos says, what difference is machshava in terms of a Chiyuv of Achila of Nevelos? Where do we see this is the din of machshava legabi Achila? In terms of the din of Tuma, I understand that machshava is central to understanding things that Tuma is chal on. So if you want to tell me Chayav means that he's chayav if he now is nifras l'mikdash because it was to Mr. Velas. But he doesn't. Rashi also brings an alternative shot that it would be referring to tumah chayav on knis l'mikdash b'tumah. So now, getting back to our sugya, Bishleim Elamandi Omar Basa Shekhalatato Saki, if you hold like Rish Lakish, that the meaning of the Alal over here is that which is really shayach to be basar. So it makes sense. So I understand that if I put it together now and have a kezayis, my machshava was over here as an earthling, so then it should have, in fact, a din of basar. But if you're going to tell me martika, like Rabbi Yochanan learns about Yom martika, what's the difference if you have a kezayis from Mokam Echad? I mean, it's eitz bialmo, or it's a completely inedible product. Well, inafinami, says the Gemara, leave it or get a little plige. Again, we have to understand that the word alal, even according to Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's a spectrum of meaning. It stretches from martika, certainly includes basar shokolatato sakim. Now the question is, how specific is the application? So, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rabbi Yehuda is using the term, it's clear if he says that what we mean is if we have a kezayis mokam echad, you'll be chayav. Obviously, he's talking about something that is shayach to eat. He's got to be talking about basar shpalatato sakim. The point was, I'll leave it to Rabbanan. I mean, all that Rabbi Yochanan was saying is that according to the Tanakhama, the word alal would also include martika. I mean, certainly it means basar shpalatato sakim. All it's saying is that if you hold that it's not mitzaref, you bring up the issue of, I mean, that it's mitzaref only with basar, but it wouldn't be mitzaref together to kezayis. So okay, that's talking about martika. Even martika would be mitzaref to basar. And Rish Lakish says, no, the Tanakhama is using the term precisely the way Rav Yehuda is using the term. And if it's martika, it's bakalal, not shayach to eat even together with the basar. And therefore, it's davke basar shepalatato sakin. Abu martika is not mitzar because bakalal, it's not considered to be foodstuffs. Now, this is all, by the way, Rashi's shot in martika that's referring to Gidei Tzava or the spinal cord. Tosus learns Martika, he brings rayas that we would never have learned Gidei Tzava in Mitzurif with Basa, because he shows that the word is used with Eifes, and with Eifes there is no Gidei Tzava. There are no very tough Gidim in the Tzava of an Oif that are different than other Gidim. So it can't mean Martika the way Rashi's learning. He learns Martika simply means dried flesh. In other words, not basar chai. Basar is no longer chai. So you have like places where the skin is dyed, or there's parts of the mesh is dyed. So yeah, together, like calloused. So the same type of thing. So that if it's together with a piece of basar, it can be eaten together with the basar. But by itself, it's not considered. But basically, I mean, everything else is the same. So now the question is, if we're learning basar shepalatato sakin, and we understand that if you put this together, as Rav Yehuda says, so then it would be basar. So the shaila is, why do you need siruf b'chlo? In other words, if you're willing to say that in a place where it was all together, it would certainly be considered basar. So what you're trying to say, I'm mitzaref it with other basar, l'chor would be basar on its own. I mean, either it is or it isn't. And if you're not machshav it, so then it's nothing. Say, if you don't, I mean, either machshav it. If you were chashev on it, so what do you need that it should be now together with other basar to be mekabel tuma? What are you telling me that it's considered to be now mitzurah with other basar? And if it's on its own, it wouldn't be. V'idalo chashev alei. V'tuli batei. If there was no makshava, so then it should be boto by very virtue of the fact that you weren't makshavit. So how do you explain it? So Rav Avin, Rav Maisha, Chadamar Miktzato Chishav Alav, Chadamar Miktzato Palatato Chaya, Miktzato Palatato Sakin. The gears that we have here in Rashi is a little bit strange, and probably the Marshal brings an alternative in Rashi Yashan, which is the equivalent of what the other Rishonim say, which is that in a case we have a partial, we have a Makshava on something, not on all of it. That Makshava on part, if it's tziruf with basar, is sufficient to say, look, he wasn't deicha it completely. He wasn't thinking about the rest of it. Part of it that he was thinking about, he was machshav. So then even the part that he hadn't been choshev on, if it's with tziruf with basar, is considered to be also basar. Or, palatato chaya would be the sense of, let's say, a dog bit this animal and detached a little piece of skin together with bossa that would have been palatosaki, same type of thing. So over there, that part of it certainly not bottom, and the animal kept walking on with this piece of skin hanging, and it hadn't died. The bossa was mitzurah. So there, if you have some of it that clearly was considered to be bossa, so it would be mitzurah, even though he didn't think about the rest of it. The rest of it would be mitzurah. Tzlanhosi. Hakartom v'hatziponayim mitamim. Here it's talking about an oath. And it says over there that the beak or the nails in the foot would be mittamim umittamim umittarfim. So there, first of all, they can act if the oath itself was makabel tumah. An oath, remember, an oath has no tumas atzmo b'maga. Even a nivlas oath tahor is only mitame and swallowing it. Touching it, there's no tumah at all. So when we're talking about mittamim umittamim, it means, bimaga, obviously, over here, it means that it had been mekabel tuma from something else, and it's now ochlin, and it will be metame other ochlin, by touching the beak, or by touching the nails. Not only that, but it's also mitstarfim lekebetza of tuma, to be mekabel tuma, these nails and the chartom. Ask the Gemara, how is that possible? Chartom, the beak, it certainly ain't beyond. How do you view that as food, even betzirov? Omar Rabbi Elazar b'chartom tachton. It's talking about the lower beak, which is more like a lip. So what? I mean, it's also ain't beyond. It's hard. I mean, it's keratin. It's not edible at all. Rav Papi didn't mean the lower beak, meaning the part that's hanging down lower. He meant the tachton shel elyon. What he meant was the membrane that connects the beak to the top of the mouth, where that membrane is shayach to tziruf for bosa, because it's softer than the beak itself. Tziponayim, and which part of tziponayim would be considered to be mesur for bosa? I mean, come on, it's also, it's just keratin. Omar Rabbi Elazar makom hamuvlaim bebasar. That's talking about the part of the nail that's inside and that is still supplied with blood. And that it, even though it's hard, but it still has a din of tziruf with other basar. And karnayim, which are also, I mean, just horn. Amar of Baba there too. The part that's mitzuruf in our basar is v'makom shechotchin v'yotzei mehem dam. That's where it's so close to the head that where you cut it, it's still supplied with blood. And over there, even though again it's hard, so it's considered sufficiently to be basar, that it would be mitzuraf imha basar. Yeah, in the zakhus of the keren, there's a blood supply at the bottom. Again, Harriet describes the spurting of the blood where they left the karnayim. They used to leave the karnayim on too long, and try to cut it off was a disaster. So, get a little bit of veterinary knowledge from those books. Now, the next case that we had in the Mishnah is a very strange case, in which you had a Jew that was shechting a chazer, and he was doing this for a goy. Now, he did a shechita kshera, and we have a rather strange halacha, which is that since shechita itself is shayach for a Jew, and since eating a chazer is shayach for a goy, so if the Jew has a machshevas eichlin to feed it to the goy, and he does the act which normally for him turns things into eichlin, that gives it a din of eichlin. Of course, the chazer is still alive after the shechita until it actually dies. So it won't be matami to misavelis. It's a very similar case for completely different reasons to the first part of the Mishnah, in which you have something that can be matami to misavelis, but will not be matame to misavelis. So it's considered to be an eichlin, even though it's alive. And that's only very specifically because A, it's a Jew who's doing it. B, it's being done with an act of kosher shechita. C, it's being done dafka to a behemoth mea. I mean, otherwise, behemoth mea really is eichlin, and the whole thing wouldn't be shayach. And D, it's dafka for a goy who is shayach to actually eat it. So the tziruf karnea, you're looking much too intelligent, which is a sign of you're being totally asleep. So Mamela, we have over here a case of makshiv something for Eichel. Now the guy can't really eat this because it's Abram and Achai, it's considered to be alive. But the Jew gave it a din of Tumas Eichel. Omer Rabbi Asi Shonim, you know, they say over, and when they say over this sugya, that a Yisrael who does shchita in a behemah tameya, or an Oved Kechavim who does shchita in a behemah tahira, so he's doing, it's the same thing in the inverse. He, this guy, figures that he could do a kosher shchita for a Jew, and even though the Jew can't eat it, and even though shchita doesn't apply to an akum, but because he's using the heter of Yisrael on a behemah tahira, so he is like being machshivit now as an eichlin. So nonetheless, there are tanoim who say that you need to have bedavka. In other words, if, let's say a Jew was shechting this behemah tameya, that's practice. And he didn't think in his mind that he wants to actually give it as food to a guy. So then it wouldn't be considered to be eichlin. You need to have machshava. And in the inverse case, if a goy would be shechting, he can't be shechting for practice. He would have to actually have machshava to feed it to a Jew. And only then is it considered to be a real foodstuff. And in order for it to be makabel tuma, it would require hechsher mimakom acher. Because the dam that is yotzei mimenu is not considered to be dam shechita. Because in neither case, a shechita obviously by a Jew of a tummy animal is not dam shechita. And a shechita of a goy, of a kosher animal, is not dam shechita. In either case is the shechita really operative. It's not considered to be halal, as in dam halalim yishteh, that it should be mukshar as dam halalim, because that's only said literally halal, where you actually slice through a head or something like that, where you have the spurting of the blood that comes from an act of halalut, not of shechita. The male of the dam won't be machshir it, and so you need hechsher mimakamach. So now the question is,
for a dog,
no.
Wouldn't it be ochel?
No. The dog doesn't need to food. Achilas kelev is not achila. It would also eat what we eat, but it certainly doesn't need to be what we eat. The achil of an animal isn't what the Torah is marking on achil. So now the question is, why do I need over here hechsher? Lomov. So for the tamei tumah chamura, the choshe so for the tamei tumah chamura, lovoi hechsher. In both of these cases, the animal, when it does die, a few moments from now, after it finishes being mefacheses, it's going to be unavailable. And the rule is that something that will ultimately be metame tuma chamura, which means a tuma from its own self, as an ava tuma, does not require in the interim, when it has a din of eichlin, hechsher, because it's mukhsher v'yomei, because of its own netiyat tuma, because it's on its way to be metame itself. And I could prove that from the famous drasha, the Tanna de Rav Yishmael. We learn out from the Pasuk, v'chiyutan mayim al zera. Why does the Torah use zera as a model for Kabbalah Satuna? Because just like mazra'im, she'in sofanu the tamei tumach hamura, tzurkim echsher. I mean, after all, tumas ochlin includes not only zra'im, it includes even needs. So why do we use zra'im? Because just like Zra'im have no possible way of being metamic to Mechamura. As a matter of fact, even if they would touch a mace, they wouldn't be metamic to Mechamura. Forget about metamic to Mechamura from themselves. Zra'im, or for that matter, anything that doesn't have Tahira b'mikvah, including Kli Cheres, for that matter. Anything that has no Tahira b'mikvah cannot be mekabel to Mechamura, even from something else, even if it touches a mace. Because the whole din of Tuma b'maga with a mace is said in context of the din of Tfila. And therefore we learn from that Eichlin will never be Mekabal Tuma Chamura. For that matter, neither will Kalim that are not Klei Sheta, meaning Kalim that are not Shayach to Tahir of the Mikvah. So it's just like Zrayim are not Sevla Tamita B'Chamura, and only there does the Torah say B'Chiyutan Mayim, that there you need hechsher, So to any Eichel, which are not themselves going to be shayach to Tumah of an Avat Tumah, they require action. V'tani Amar of Yossi, Mivnei ma amru nivlat ov tahor tzricha machshava ve'ina tzricha ekshir. And Rabbi Yossi also explains that it says in the Mishnah, the Feirish, in the Mishnah of the Shlosh Esrei Dvarim, Yud Gimel Dvarim, Nemru benivlas ov tahor. So it says over there, one of those things is that you do need to have a machshava if you want it to be makabel tumas erchel. Again, not its own tumas. Its own tumas has nothing to do with your machshava. But if you want a nivlas ov tahor to be makabel tumas erchel with something else, let's say it touches a sheretz, normally you would not be eating a nivlas ov. This, of course, is only talking about, the Gemara clarifies elsewhere, this is only talking about small towns. Small towns, you don't have a distribution system of things that are nevelas to sell them to goyim. In a large, in a metropolitan area, nivlas oftar is aimed lachila automatically, because it's over la socher, basically. I mean, it's going to be sold as food in the local Safeway. But in a kfar, this halacha is true. But unless somebody had in mind it's going to be used as food, it's basically junk. So you want it to be makabel tumah as food, because it doesn't have its own tumah unless you actually swallow it. So over there, it requires makshava. But don't think that it needs action, says the Mishnah. It doesn't need action. It's echlin, it's tummy without needing action. So Rabbi Yossi explains in the Braisa, why is it that it doesn't need action? Because mitzvah shofan, the tamei tumah chamura, since it itself will be mitamei tumah chamura as a nivlas ov tahor if it's swallowed. So there will be the time of the person who eats it and the clothes that he's wearing when he eats it. So there's no need for hechsher. So why do you say over here that in our case, where you shechted a behemoth tamei or a goy shechts a behemoth tamei, as long as it's being mefarches, it would require a hechsher be mokum after, even though as soon as it buys, it itself is going to be metame to machamura. So how do we explain these tanoi? There's a big difference. Because point over here is that before it dies, you can cut it up. So while it's being mefarches, any piece of meat that's on it, if you would cut it off, there would be no problem of tumas nevelas, because it wouldn't be large enough to be metami tumas nevelas. You need to have a kizayas in order to be matami to mesavet. Certainly, if you cut something off while it's still being mefarches, it would be boser min achayim, the chalala wouldn't be matami. It was bigger than a gezayis, as long as it wasn't large enough to be matami beivorim. Since that's the situation now, there is no reason for us to say that sofa is matami to mechamura. The nivlas ov tahor already is a nivlas ov tahor. There's nothing you can do about it. The sofa matami to mechamura is a potentiality. It doesn't mean necessarily somebody's going to swallow it. But since in this case, in the eventuality of somebody swallowed, would it be tame? But right now you have a live animal. So what do you say? This live animal will definitely be matamis and available. Who's to say that? How do you know that any of the bosses that you're holding is sofalatame tumakamura? If you would cut it off right now, it wouldn't be sofalatame tumakamura. Mamela, in order for it to be makabatuma now, is tumasayuklin, it actually would require hachshar mimakomach.
Well, let's say you look in an animal's mouth, that can't consider it no.
No, that's not mine. What's the difference?
If you remain the whole piece.
The question is the potentiality over here. If I want to, I could stick this animal now into a nevela reducing machine, click on a switch, and have the pieces come down, and cut it up in a tenth of a second. What's not to you? I'm not really going to do this. The question is in terms of its potential. Looking at this animal, I have no reason to say so for the time it's Bechamura. Maybe yes, maybe not. Right? It's the old alien story. You can slice it up with laser beams. Omalei Reb Yirmiyahu Reb Yizera. Is this true? Umiyama Chizkiyah. Did Chizkiyah really say that there's no din of tumas nevelas? Obviously, the whole, if Chizkiyah is saying this, that you can cut the thing up. So he's obviously holding, but as long as it's a mefarcheses, it's not considered to be tamei betumas nevelis, correct? Now, the truth is, as Tosis points out, obviously that's correct. I mean, the Mishnah says it's nevelis. What is there to discuss? But we'd like to show directly a stira in Chizkiya. So, in other words, we could have asked him for the Mishnah if we're going to ask a stira. But okay, look. Chizkiya went along with this idea and took it for granted that something is not considered to be betumas nevelis as long as it's mefarcheses. Problem is that didn't Chizkiya say that in a case by itmar shachat par shnayim or rov shnayim, that in a case where you had a shechita of a behemah tameya, such as in the case of our Mishnah, and you shechted the amount of necessary shnayim or rov shnayim, we are dying in the farcheset, and now the animal is still being mefarches. Chizkiya amar einala evarim. Now Chizkiya said that at this point, if a ben Noach eats it, he would not be chayiv for Eber Minachai, because it's no longer considered to be, apparently what he's saying is it's no longer considered to be chay. Therefore, it's not an Eber Minachai. So cut off something from it, the goy would not be chayiv on it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yeshel Eivorim, why? As long as it's still alive, is Yeshel Eivorim to Chizkiya Amar Eivorim. In other words, he holds it's considered to be dead. Look, I mean, if it's considered to be dead, then it should be Matame to Mesavelas right now. And how could Chizkiya say, well, who's to say it's going to be soft for the time of Tumas Hamur if I could cut it up into little pieces? What do you mean? Chizkiya's own sheet says that it's no longer Chayav al-Sefer Menachai. How do you understand Chizkiya? Rabbi Yochanan says, Yesh Le'Varm, it's not considered to be dead. Omar Le'. And obviously, Chizkiya couldn't really hold that it's dead, because the Mishnah says, Beferish, and it's not the time of Tumas Nevelis, right? So well, what's the explanation? What we see is a fascinating thing. And this is that Schrodinger's cat is indeed neither alive nor dead. And yotzta mechlal chaya v'lechlal meita lo ba. In order for something to be considered an eiver minachai, that chiyut has to be complete. Not the case of the mefarcheses that was nishkat. At that point, it's no longer called minachai. On the other hand, to be called dead, it certainly is not dead. Because a nevela is something which is completely lifeless. And this thing is not completely lifeless. So there is a stage that is neither called chai lagabe the fi of aveva menachai, nor is it called dead lagabe being called an aveva. And that's the stage of mefarcheses. And that's what Chizkiya holds. That even though lemaisa, it's not matami tum is avelas, it's also not going to be machai of a goy, also aveva menachai.
It's different to the reindeer and heart stopping.
What do you mean? I mean, whatever the shiur. Yeah, we're not coming necessarily to define here what that shiur is, but whatever mefarcheses would normally be does not allow extended shiur. But it isn't that. Normally we think it's an either or proposition. Perhaps. I've never seen it broad. But I mean, normally by human being, we consider it to be murder, even on a guy's day, you know, to be makar and misasim. You know, get a few of him. Omer of Elazar, Nikot od Rabbi Yochanan Yadach. If you want to know the halacha, you should follow Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Yeshua on the Ivarim, that a goy would be chayav al sefer menachai, to tani revoshe kavase, because we see in a brisa, revoshe basically said over a brisa just like that. The tani revoshe, Yisrael shachat beimat me'al oved kochavim, shachat b'shnayim orov shnayim umefacheset, mitam'a tumat ochlim, avolot tumat nevelot, and here's the crucial point coming up, ever haporesh mimena keporesh menachai, ubasar haporesh mimena kebasar haporesh menachai, and therefore also live they Noach. It would be also live they Noach permanently, even if the animal died, obviously, because once you cut it, it's Eber Menachai, you know, irregardless of the state of the animal at the time that you ate it. It's only Nogeah the time that you cut it. So a few of the Afrisha takes enough shot. Therefore, we see that the Brisa is assuming
that the animal is considered to be a chai, even the gabi did a beva min a chai, as long as it's being mufachetz. Shachat ba'echad, on the other hand, if he didn't do the mice of shmita that would have been matir ba'im atayra, that's the only shechted one of the simonim, morov echad, then eina mitamatu matochlim, and if nachra, if he b'chlal didn't do a mice of shmita, he just like stamped it. So then, I mean, for sure, ein batumah shel klum, there's nothing to discuss. Not that tumah shel klum is saying anything different than ein matam tumah shel klum, obviously. I mean, it's not, what do you mean tumah shel klum? And as it says, all that we're doing here is using this aloshna to say, I mean, then there's nothing to discuss. Ein matam tumah shel klum. It's not that we're adding anything, because the only tumah we were talking about was tumah shel klum anyway. V'oved kochavim, in the inverse case, a goy now goes in and checks of ein atayra for Yisrael. And it's mifarcheset. Again, it's also metamet tumas ochli. It's not metamet tumas nevelo because it's still being mifarches. Ever haporesh mimena, keporesh minachai, because there was no heter of the shvit of an akum. Of course, if a Jew would have been shochi, it takes off the yisr of ever minachai. But if a goy does, it's still an ever minachai. Both are haporesh mimena, keporesh minachai. V'yosha lebnei noach, v'afilu liach, v'shetetzei nafsha. And if the goy had only been shofet echad or rov echad, then it wouldn't even be matamet tumas ochlim, because he didn't do an act that would be considered ach shavei l'gabi achila. So ain't a matamet tumas ochlim. And of course, nachra, if he just stabbed it, so then for sure, if it's mifacheses, there's nothing to discuss. Ain't but tumas ochlim.
If a goy who shechs a sheep for
a Jew to eat, it'll be an avela. Yeah.
Not a
treifa. Shachat oved kochavim b'makom she'ein oseo ta treifa. Now let's say where a Jew wants to eat it. The goy shechts, he doesn't complete the shechita, and he shechts in a way that doesn't yet make it a treifa. So let's say instead of rubei shokana, he shechts chetzi kana. Chetzi kana is not a treifa. Comes along the Jew now to complete the shechita. Ubay Yisrael v'gomra. Now it's kosher, because it's neither treif nor nevela. It's makshir completely. Shachat Yisrael, bein makom she'osel ta treifa, bein makom she'ein osel ta treifa. On the other hand, if a Jew did a shechita, so there, even if he had done a shechita where he had checked the roiv of the kana, but had not completed the shechita, so then if an eved kohen comes along, he's gomar shechita. Say, obviously it's possible. How about if somebody wants to eat an animal that is still alive? Why would somebody want to do this? It's healthy. According to Maman Yomers, we'll see. So is there anything to do? There is indeed. He can be chotech kizayis vosu rebet shkitata. Checks the animal, immediately grabs the throat and cuts off a piece from it. Then he has to be molcho yofa yofa, midifa yofa yofa. Since he didn't wait the normal amount where the blood has a chance of leaving the animal, he has to do a very good job of malicha and hadocha in order to make sure there's no dam left in this meat. He also has to wait until the animal dies, because the chachomim asr lo tochal al adam, the asr eating in this fashion because it seems very gluttonous and barbaric. On the other hand, he's interested in having a piece of absolutely fresh, living meat. So he waits until the animal itself dies. And he eats it. Now, a goy can also eat it, because being as it's huksha for Yisrael, so ain't a chadavar that is kosher for Yisrael, that an akum should be asur on. Therefore, once the shechita was makshrit for Yisrael, it's makshrit for the akum. So echad of the kechavim, the echad Yisrael mutarimbo, and this is a raya to Rabbi Divaravin. Misayel or Rabbi Divaravin, we had this before. That Yom Rabbi Divaravin on Rabbi Yitzchak Barashi and Arotu Shiyabri. Somebody who needs to get well, and he has to eat very fresh meat. Kotech kizayit basar mi beit shvita, mocho yafa yafa, mi dicho yafa yafa, mantin la, ad shetetze napsha, echad of the kechavim, the echad Yisrael mutarimbo. It's because it's handy. It's handy. You get it while it's still being mepharchi. So then you have to start skinning and so on. By then the animal will have done. Boy, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Lazar asks, when we talk about these sort of semi-shtitas, where you say you have to shecht it the way, I mean, your ephod is not enough, that's the rubel shel shnayim, how far do you want to go with this? I mean, would you say that if you did a shehiyah, or you did a drisa, you know, you're shechting a chazer, so forth. I mean, so, you know, I mean, like, we're going to be makbid, I mean, we need about that texture on this chazer, or what? So how does that work? Omar le'ahu saba, halki omar Rabbi Yochanan, the way Rabbi Yochanan puts it is, Tzricha hekshar shvita kebehema tehera. You need a total hekshar shvita the way you would on a behema tehera. Gosh, I mean, like, how far does that mean? You say hekshar, I mean, as you could say, all you need to say is you need shvita like behema tehera. Hekshar shvita is mashma, you have to even prepare the shvita. Lamai, almost for by it's a badika sacking. What do you mean? You have to ask about that thing, Maksha the sacking too. It's not enough to assume that the sacking is kosher. We're talking about, in order for your Makshava to make it into earthland, you have to treat it as if it was total earthland. Fascinating. Boy, mine, Rabbi Zerim, Rabbi Sheshis. Mao shetatfil al habluin shebetocha. You have this animal that is. It's betamed to Maserik. On the other hand, it's alive. Now, we know that a live animal, if it has something balua in it that's in, let's say, an oil amaz, say it has it swallowed a ring, anything that's balua is not makabatuma in an oil amaz. On the other hand, I mean, if it was inside of a piece of meat, of course, all things would be makabatuma. That's how called balua. Balua has to be alive. So, what is the status of this animal vis-a-vis being matzil on something that is in its stomach, in an oil mace? Will it be matzil or not? Or Marley, Zripshishas, said to him, what do you mean, metametum as eichlin matzalas? How could an animal that is eichlin be matzil on something? Or Marley, what do you mean? Ain't metametum as avelis? I mean, it's obviously alive, the lotatfil. So how could it not be matzil? If it's alive, then it's matzil. Omar Abaye, Ina Matzilat al Habluin Shibetucha. Now, Matame to myself. Look, Lamaise, it's not Matame, because if it's not Matzil, because it's Matame to myself. Now, Rashi learns this means Lachumra, which is Mashma, and Tosfos thinks that Rashi means the Sopek, which is a problem, as we'll see in a moment. But the Etzem, most of the meaning of Rashi is that the Rabbanan were Gezer, since it has a din of Tumasechlin. So Mamela, we should give it a halacha, not to be matzil, not to be chaytis to the atuma. All right, I mean, because miikra, then it's alive. V'harov'a. Let's say somebody now is roveya, this animal. So now it's also a strange situation. Is this a piece of meat, or is this an animal? Well, he's chayim. V'ayinam atamis from his v'velas. Clearly. And this is Tosfos' problem with Rashi. Rashi's learning l'chumra. So then, what do you mean? If it's not a suffix, we can't say harov achayav. Clearly, the point over here is that it's a completely live animal.
This
while it's being mefarcheses. Yeah. So mamelis is a totally live animal, and there's no stira between being completely alive and mekabel to maserfin. So that would mean that a live animal is in fact mekabel to. And we'll see later on in the Masechta there's a contradiction in the Tesis. That something which is alive is bad in that Shaya to Kabbalah's Tumah, which we'll talk about when we get there. All right, gentlemen. Okay.